center today is Pastor Richard. He works with the U.S. Air Force as a chaplain. And so far, we've been enjoying the very first presentation that he had to do yesterday. And I hope that we are going to be blessed that just the same way today. Amen? So before we start, shall we all rise and pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you for the strength. We thank you for the breath of life. Lord, today we are here once again to hear from you. We pray that you empower your manservant, Pastor Richard, as he speaks from you. So may your Holy Spirit guide him and guide us to understand your will for our lives. These things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I see people continue to come, and we know the number will continue to increase as time goes by. Well, Pastor Richard, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that warm introduction. We'd like to welcome everyone here. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Woo, it's so good to see y'all today. I tell you, every time I get up, I thank God, number one, for giving me the breath of life. And number two, I thank God for giving me salvation. And number three, I thank God for giving me a family. Do you realize, no matter where you go in the world, if you are fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ, do you realize that we're one family? There are times in my life when I start thinking about what will happen when I first see Jesus Christ there as we walk the streets of gold. You know, I can't imagine what's going to be going on inside of our minds. But, you know, also, I can't wait to just look around and just look at myself and say, wow, I'm here. And then I can hardly wait to see you all. And we can also talk about the wonderful experiences that we had this week at camp meeting. And we can say, do you remember when we were at camp meeting and how it was raining on Sabbath and Sunday, but all of a sudden we had beautiful weather? Do you remember how we used to come together in fellowship? We were talking about five love languages. We were talking about grace last night. We were talking about the gospel and all these different things throughout the week. Do you remember those times? Oh, man, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful situation when we see Jesus face to face and also when we fellowship one with another. It's going to be awesome. I'm telling you. You don't want to miss that, okay? As a matter of fact, you can miss this seminar, but you don't want to miss that seminar in heaven. Amen? All right. Once again, we are so glad to be here in your presence today. We're going to be talking about the five love languages. And we just want to give you an overview. Yesterday we talked about singles. We tried to contextualize everything just to give us an understanding of where we are. And incidentally, this seminar is not just for singles. It is for married people. Now, initially, they wanted me to speak on behalf of singles, or two singles. But we want you to know that it's open for anyone. If you know of anyone that would like to attend, in fact, I talked to somebody yesterday. They says, you know, I wanted to come and hear the seminar, but I heard it was just for singles. And I said, you know what? If you and your wife come, I won't tell anybody that you're married. All right. All right. So anyway, we talked about different things regarding the singles. Today we're talking about words of affirmation and acts of service. Wednesday, we'll be talking about gifts and quality time. Thursday, we'll be talking about physical touch. And then Friday, we'll kind of summarize everything. And then you will learn your love language. You'll actually discover your own respective love languages, okay? So therefore, we just hope that you will continue to press forward with me as we talk about just a few things. Now, I'm just going to give you a little review of what we've talked about in the past few hours yesterday. We talked about how God created us to be social beings. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, The Bible says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And so the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That was Adam. But then God, you remember, took a rib out of Adam and made Eve. And thus Adam and Eve became, they served as a social support or a social network for each other. And also, we also talked about the five different types of singles. You know, for those of you who are single, you fall under one of these five types of individuals. Those who are never married. Those individuals who never taken the vow to spend their life with that significant person. Also, there is another type of single, one who is divorced. Unfortunately, we have a lot of individuals who have gone through some hard times. And I want you to know that this perhaps is one of the most heartbroken demographics, because when a person goes through a divorce, there's so many things that are going on financially, emotionally, and all of these different things. And so therefore, I believe that even as a church, we need to be very sensitive to individuals who fall in this category, because if there is a group of individuals that need our love and support, it is this group right here. Also, there are those who are separated, who are still legally married, but yet they have decided to live in separate households in order to deal with the particular situation that they're going through. Also, there are those who are widowed. We have singles who have been married for several years, and then their husband or their wife died, and now they have to continue living life alone, or at least until the Lord sends someone else. Amen. We also have single parents, and we know that our single parents have some huge challenges trying to rear a family all by themselves, making sure that not only their needs are met, but also their dependents as well. And so these are some of the things that we talked about yesterday. But one of the things that we mentioned is, no matter what category you fall under, no matter if you're married or not married, single or with someone else, it doesn't matter about this one thing. Every single person needs love. I've gone to the north, the south, the east, and the west. I've gone all over the world, and I'm telling you right now, everyone that I've met needs love. Even the person that says, I don't want to be loved, needs love. Even the person that says, I'm going to live my life all alone, all by myself, they also need love. I don't care what it is. And so that's why we're talking about the five love languages, because love is truly an important need for all of us. You see, if it wasn't for love, if it wasn't for love, you and I would not be alive right now. You see, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, because somebody loved us, we have the right and the opportunity to love one another. See, therefore, we all need love, and this world in order for us to press forward, we all must have and experience love relationships. Also, we need to be able to love. Not only that, but we also need to express and receive love. And so, one of the things that we talked about is, we need to not only receive love, but we need to express love too. If we're just receiving, 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 and not giving, 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 we become stagnant. It's a very unhealthy thing. Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, that's very interesting, because if you don't love yourself, the Bible says, love, what does the Bible say? Love your neighbor, what? More than yourself? No, love your neighbor less than yourself, right? Okay, I need to look at the right version here. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And you're absolutely right. There are so many people that really don't have regard for themselves. You know, we're going to be talking about forgiveness in a few minutes. And, you know, when we think about forgiveness, so many times we so easily, so ready to forgive others. But when it comes to forgiving ourselves, we're saying, no, I can't do that. I can't forgive myself. And sometimes we'll beat each other up or beat ourselves up. And as a result, we don't experience the peace that God has given us. And so that is so true. We need to be aware of that. But, you know, one of the things that we also mentioned yesterday was, if you are in a very loving relationship, if you have those individuals around you that care about you, that are looking out for you, it's very easy for you to endure hard times. I told you about the war experiences there in Afghanistan, talking to individuals who lost limbs, but they were so much more focused on spending time with their unit, getting back to be with their people. You know, it's amazing what will happen if you have someone by your side, someone that you can call your network. These are the types of individuals that can help bring you through. Now, once again, the reason why we are doing this particular seminar is we want to learn how to love and also receive love in a way that is very, that we can all understand. You see, every one of us understands languages. We understand that in order for you to communicate, you have to know the language. You have to be able to go to a certain country and know the language to speak, to communicate. Because if you're able to communicate, then you're able to connect with that particular person. But let's just say if that does not happen, if you're not able to communicate, then you're going to have breakdowns. You see, the premise of this particular lesson is that every single one of us has a love language. Every single one of us understands love as a result of that language being expressed to us. For instance, if I'm a person that loves gifts, and we're going to break that down in a few minutes, and your love language is quality time, then I would have to understand that I need to spend time with you, and to really reach out to me, I may need a gift. And I'm not talking about, you know, thousands of dollars. You know, just maybe a card on my birthday, or just maybe and I know some people appreciate flowers, those types of things, just small little things, a little bookmark. Those are the types of things that we're talking about, but we're going to get into that just a little bit later on. But the point that I'm making is that in order for us to understand love, oftentimes we have to receive one of these love languages in order for us to understand what it's all about. You see, we also talked about moving from the obsessive stage to the covenant stage. You know, a lot of times when we meet people, especially when we're talking about significant others, we remember all the wonderful times when we first met. I talked to some of the spouses here, and many of you remember those first few dates. You know, you remember that first dinner. You remember that first time that you heard the words, I love you. You remember all of those times. But then as time progressed, as you moved from that obsessive stage to the covenant stage is that time where the rubber meets the road. It's the time when all that begins to fall down. And you're able to see the person as they actually are. You see, then you have to be intentional in order for your relationship to grow. And so, therefore, what this seminar does is it gives you the knowledge and the will to press forward to a deeper relationship. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Once again, the five love languages will give you the knowledge and knowledge of the nurture to love, and encourages the will to love, and it allows you to emotionally express and experience love. And once again, this is not only for singles, but also our married couples as well. Okay? Now, we've already talked about this. Now, this is an activity that we're going to do as we move over into the next phase. Now, yesterday, you remember that you were supposed to choose a wingman. Remember what we said about a wingman? A wingman, in military terms, is someone that is close by you, that will stick by your side, that will kind of be there with you. And for those of you who are married, you're each other's wingman, okay? Even for those of you who don't know anyone, we said choose someone in the audience just so that you can kind of run things by, so that you can have the opportunity of experiencing what we're going to be talking about this week. So if you haven't done that, please do so at the end of this particular seminar. Now, if you remember yesterday, we also asked you to define love in your own words. What is love? What is love? Anybody? Unconditional. Okay, love is unconditional. Okay, that's very good. Interesting. Very interesting. We're going to talk about that too. Anyone else? Yes. Love is caring and sharing. Oh, wow. Okay, this is good. This is good. Anyone else? Giving even unto those that have wronged you. See, we're talking about some serious love here. No matter what they've done, loving them. Okay. Did you have your hand up? Yes. Agape? Okay. Agape. To love the unlovable. How many of you know how to love the unlovable? Oh, wow. Yes. Taking healthy care, not just care, but taking healthy. That's the operative word, healthy. It's not so much saying, okay, I'm going to give you everything you want, but I'm going to make sure I give to you what you need. You know, as a matter of fact, if you were just giving just to me or to anyone, I would just take, if I could just ask for $1,000, that's all, you know, but you're saying giving in a healthy way, right? Oh, wow. Oh, well, maybe next time. Anyone else? Yes, yes. Showing affection for someone. And that comes in different ways. That's so true. These are different ways by which you can express love. Thank you. Yes. Wow. So you're talking about an experience that took place that actually just, oh, wow. It just summarizes what love is. Being able to look into that baby's face and feel that connection that you had there. Wow. Wow. You know, it's amazing. That's why Jesus perhaps says, you know, unless we become as little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's amazing. That's awesome. Did I see a hand over here? Yes, ma'am. So dedication. Love also consists of dedication. Okay. Wow. Got to be dedicated. Yes. Okay. One more. Okay. Grace and mercy. All righty. Did I see a hand? Yes, Paul. Willing to sacrifice. There is a concept of sacrifice when it comes to love. I mean, love is not just, you know, a bed of roses. It consists of sacrificing as well. Yes. Did I see it? Yes, ma'am. Commitment. You have love without commitment. Well, if you can, show me, because it's going to be very hard. Yes. Okay. Spending quality time. And you know, that's amazing, because that's one of our love languages. And we're going to actually show how that fits under the umbrella of love. All righty. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Honesty. Yeah, that's very, very important when it comes to love. Even when it means that you may not say something that's really pleasing. I mean, sometimes you might say something that's brutally honest. And yeah, that's the honest truth. Yes. Yes, sir. Love, acceptance. Exactly. You know, Jesus Christ, you know, because he loved us, it showed that he accepted us. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1 now says that we are accepted in the beloved because of what Christ has done. Amen. Wow, these are all great. And if I overlook someone, I'm sorry. But these are all definitions of love. But if you go to the dictionary, right, I noticed that this was the actual definition that I looked up. It says, love is an intense feeling of deep affection. I didn't write it. The dictionary said that. But, you know, I think that perhaps this might be the reason why our world is in the situation that it's in right now. You see, when you look at this type of love, you know, an intense feeling can somehow lessen. The intensity can somehow lessen. You know, deep affection can sometimes change. But you see, I thank God that we are talking about a different type of love than this here. You see, from the original Greek, there are at least three words. There are others as well, but the three most popular words for love is eros. And that, of course, is sensual love. Okay? And this is where we get the word erotic and things of that nature. But then you also go to phileo, which is brotherly love. That's right, Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, I was in the original Philadelphia, right there in Turkey. And it was amazing. In fact, they talk about the church of Philadelphia in Revelation. Well, if you go back to that region, you'll notice that it's just a little block. And it's just a few columns standing up, and that's the only remains that they have in that area. And so what would happen back in the day, they would build on top of cities, and it's believed that it's underneath all of the present-day establishment right now. So it's just interesting to say that you had mentioned that. But there's also something called agape love. Agape love consists of three things. And I want you to say that with me. Agape love is unconditional. Agape love is unchangeable. And agape love is unselfish. You see, I thank God that God does not have my natural love. You see, we're talking about the love that I can give outside of Christ. You see, when I was born, you know, I can give a brotherly love, but I can't have agape love. Agape love only comes from God. You see, Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You see, God's love is unconditional. He loves us no matter what. Even when we're bad, guess what? God still loves us. Even when we are going astray, God still loves us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? Christ turned his back on us, right? Oh, no. Christ said, listen, because you have turned your back on me, I'm going to turn my back on you, right? No, because you didn't get on your knees and pray to me the other day, I'm not going to help you out, right? You see, when you think about Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ loves us unconditionally. Now, of course, I'm not saying that there are no repercussions to what we do. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying this. In spite of what we do, Christ still loves us. And that's the wonderful thing of what we talked about last night as Pastor Bryant came and talked about grace. God loves us. And God's love is also unchangeable. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says what? I am the Lord and I change what? No, he says, I am the Lord and I change according to my feelings, right? No, I'm sorry. God says, I am the Lord and I change if you change your mind about me, right? No, God says, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's because God does his love continually is given toward us. That's why we're able to experience the wonderful things about life right now. Even if you look at this particular situation, it says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God was unselfish in giving his son. Just a few days ago, I was going through my closet and I was cleaning everything out. I was doing spring cleaning. I was getting everything cleaned out. I had clothes that I hadn't worn in years. I had clothes that I had in high school. I could barely fit. My sleeves were all the way up to my elbows. And I says, I got to get rid of all this. And then I took it over to a place called Goodwill. I don't know if they have Goodwill over here. They do have Goodwill. Oh, it's everywhere. All right. Anyway, I was cleaning out my closet. And then I said to myself, wow, I've really done a good thing. But then I started thinking, why is it that I haven't given the very best? How many of you ladies have given away your best dress? Brothers, how many of you have given away your favorite article of clothing? You see, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, I want you to know that God could give nothing better. We talked about how heaven has streets of gold. Not even the streets of gold compare to the value of Jesus Christ. So when God gave his son, there was nothing greater. I can imagine God was looking around. He was going around and he was saying, what can I give for the salvation of the souls down on earth? And finally he looks at his son and he says, I'll give my son. You see, God's love is unselfish. We're talking about agape love. And as we express these love languages, I want you to know that this is a God thing. As we express these things that we're about to talk about right now, this can only be done by God working in you. I want you to know that oftentimes we try to be good, but I want you to know that only God is our goodness. So many times we try to be this or be that, but I want you to know that only Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And so therefore, as we look at these five love languages, it has to be seen under the spectacles of agape. It has to be seen in light of God's agape love. And so therefore, we want to just say these words real quick. The keys to successful love is expressing and receiving love. It must be understood according to one's corresponding love language, and it must be motivated by agape. So the only thing that should motivate us is God's agape love. You see, when we're trying to talk someone's love language, it should be based on God loving through us. It should be through God wanting us to communicate and connect with those who are around us. And so therefore, I'm going to get into the very first love language, which is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Now, I want you to know that the biggest lie in the whole world, in my book, is how many of you have ever heard the term, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will what? That is the biggest lie. Besides the one that Satan said in the garden, you shall not surely die. But for this example, I'm going to use this right here. This is the biggest lie because many people think that, you know what? Oh, your words can't hurt me. Oh, just go ahead and ignore it. No. My friends, I want you to know that words are very, very important. In fact, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 31 says, death and life are in the power of the what? And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are all contained within the power of the tongue. Do you understand that words can break a person down? That words can build somebody up? You see, I'm here to tell you that words have an effect on people. Just a few years ago, when I was a youngster, I lived in New York City. My dad was a pastor there at the Linden Boulevard Church, right there on Linden Boulevard. And I'll never forget, I was about to go to the fourth grade, and I wanted to have a basketball. And I asked my mom and dad to give me a basketball, and they said, no, son, you got to go out and earn it. I said, what do you mean? They said, go ahead and get a job. You're old enough. I said, Mom, I'm like 9 years old. They said, no, go out and cut lawns. And so sure enough, we started cutting lawns. My brother Dave and I, we started cutting lawns, and we had a good time. We were going from house to house, asking if people needed their lawns to be cut, and they would give us a small little token of appreciation. And by the end of the summer, I actually had enough money to buy a basketball. You see, it was my goal to be in the NBA. The National Basketball Association. I wanted to just be the best basketball player in the world. Yeah, I was just a couple of feet too short, you know, maybe about 3 or 4, but that's all right. But you couldn't tell me anything. So surely I went to the store and I bought a basketball. And it was so nice. Oh, wow, it was so great. And I would just hold it, and I would just look up into the sky, and I would just let the sunlight glean off of the leather. No, I'm sorry, it was fake leather. It was actually called pleather, okay? But anyway, I remember the first day of school, our teacher says, listen, we want you to go ahead and we want you to have show and tell at the end of the week. And so you won't believe what I held as my show and tell object at the end of the week. That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. And so I remember the very beginning of the day, I would go down the hallway and there was my basketball. I would go to the classroom and there was my basketball. I was even at the lunchroom and there was my basketball. Even I went to the restroom and guess what? There you go. And so at the very end of the day, I remembered putting a towel over the basketball. And finally, I lifted it up and everyone said, ooh, and ah, and everyone was so amazed. And I was so proud. And so at the very end of the day, I was walking around in the courtyard area, and I was just dribbling the basketball. And then these two guys came up. I was around in the third or fourth grade. I was just going to the fourth grade, and these two guys must have been in the eighth grade. And they said, hey, kid, let me see your basketball. And I said, oh, sure, hey, I bought it all myself with my own hard work, sweat, blood, and tears. And the guy started dribbling the ball. And I noticed they started walking away. And I says, okay, you guys might want to come over here a little bit closer where I am because, you know, I don't like the fact that you're walking away with my ball. And I don't think they heard me because they kept walking away. And then I said, no, I can't let that happen because, you know what, I spent too many hours cutting grass to purchase this basketball. And I said, you know what, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let them take my basketball. And I says, you know, they're trying to steal what I earned with my hard work, sweat, blood, and tears. And I started running after them. And I remember my brother, he was saying, John, leave them alone, John. They're going to kill you. They're going to kill you, John. Leave you. I was like, oh, my goodness. I didn't care because I actually purchased that ball with my own money. And I started running after them, and they started throwing the ball back and forth over my head. It looked like a tennis match. I was going back and forth, and I was trying to grab the ball. I tried to grab this way. And then what I did was I faked like I was going this way, and then I jumped up, and I caught the basketball. And I said, yes, I've got it. I've got it in my possession. There's nothing they can do now. But then I realized I was two blocks away from the school. And these guys were twice my size. And I said, oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't understand what's going on. I just can't believe this. How did I find myself in this situation? And then I remembered my brother's words. John, they're going to kill you, kill you, kill you. And then I did something that I think just about every one of you would also do. Run, Forrest, run! So I ran as fast as I could. I was running. Usain Bolt has the world record in track and field. I believe I was running faster than him. My little legs were running so fast. But then I started getting tired because I only ran one block. And then I had another block, and I can hear these guys breathing down my neck. They were saying all different types of curse words about me, what they're going to do to me. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? I'm going to die. I didn't even have a chance to drive a car yet. I didn't even get a chance to go to high school. It's amazing what goes on in your mind when you're about to face death. I mean, your whole life flashes in front of you. I'm telling you the honest truth. And so then I was running so fast, and I said, I'm just going to run as fast as I can. And then all of a sudden, the noises stopped. I didn't hear anything. And then I was like, oh no, I'm dead. And I started pinching myself. But then as I was pinching myself, I ran into a solid figure that was standing right in front of me. And I looked up, and here stood a man, 6'2", 250 pounds. And it was none other than my father. And my dad said these words, and I'll never forget this. Said, son, I will take care of this. And I saw my dad looking at those boys, and then I looked at him, and I looked at the boys, and I remember what my dad said. And I turned around and I said, come on, let's go. Yeah, you don't want none of this. When I heard the word of my dad say, John, I will take care of this. When I heard those words, something inside of me allowed me to have the confidence to face anyone. I says, you know what? Because my dad said so, I know I can face this. You see, when we're talking about words of affirmation, words can affect individuals. It can affect attitudes. It can motivate. It can cause people to want to give more than what they actually think that they can provide. You see, words of affirmation can actually affect change in lives. You see, many individuals understand this to be true, but many people have a problem giving words of affirmation to those that they love. Many times, the reason is because they didn't receive that type of affirmation growing up as youngsters. You know, maybe you had a mother or father that never said, I love you. You know, maybe you had a situation where you never heard your parents say, I'm proud of you. Maybe you've never grown up in a family where people encouraged you. Or maybe they've said things like, well, you know what? you're going to amount to nothing. You can't do anything. Maybe you've heard people say you're a failure. You see, maybe this is the environment that you grew up. See, some people had grew up in a negative linguistic environment, according to what the author says, and so forth. And sometimes it's really hard to express words of affirmation. And you see, I want you to know that many times, if you did not grow up in that environment, many times you feel like, you know what? I wish that I could have words of affirmation. I wish someone could tell me how much they love me, how much they appreciate me, how much they like the fact that I'm alive and in their lives. You see, especially I like to speak to the men here. A lot of times we feel that, you know, hey, if I want words of affirmation, it's a sign of weakness. No, it's not a sign of weakness. You see, everything that we're talking about here, all five of these love languages are literal needs that we need. These are ways by which we understand and express love. You see, this is just how we're wired. This is just how we have been designed. You know, some people need to hear, listen, how am I doing? You see, what do you think about this? What do you think about what I'm doing? You see, sometimes we think that, you know what, I feel like I'm weak because I want to hear words of affirmation, but it doesn't mean anything like that. You see, it simply means that you are wanting to receive love based upon the way or the love language that you're designed to be. And so therefore, for that reason, it is so important for us to understand that this skill can be learned. You can definitely learn this skill. You can definitely learn to give compliments. You can definitely learn how to express love verbally. You can actually learn how to give encouraging words to your spouse. So many times I've heard spouses say, my husband doesn't say, I love you. And the husband says, well, you know I love you. That's not the point. The point is, I want to hear, I love you. So many times I've heard husbands say, all I want to know is if I just want to hear my spouse tell me that she's proud of me. I mean, I'm going out and I'm working hard. I'm trying to make ends meet. I wish I could do better, but hey, I'm doing the very best I can. If I can just get an occasional thank you. Instead of, you need to do this, need to do that, need to do this. If I can just have those words of encouragement, that would really help me out. As I said before, these things can be learned. You know, there are different ways to verbally affirm someone as well. You know, you can encourage them. You can simply say, I'm encouraging. You can do this. You see, encouragement actually means to inspire courage. And my dad said, John, I have this. It inspired courage in me to say, I will take you guys on. And by the way, my dad said, John, okay, stop. Okay, get behind me, all right? And the guys just ran on, but, you know, my dad was like, oh, boy, what am I going to do with this kid? But it inspired courage within my soul as to where I was ready and willing to take on the world. You can also praise your loved ones. Praise your children. You know, a lot of times, you know, especially, you know, when you're a single parent, oftentimes it's hard to think about the good things in life because you have so many pressures as far as trying to make ends meet. A lot of times you'll notice how kids will go to school and they'll act up. And one of the reasons being is because oftentimes kids need to hear words of praise. They just need to hear the mom or dad say, hey, listen, you're doing a good job in school. You're doing a great job. You see, that's how they understand and experience love, by receiving words of affirmation, words of encouragement, words of praise. Even in our dialogue with one another, it's so important to be kind. How you say everything means all the world, all the difference in the world. Like if I said to you, "Good morning, Pastor. How you doing?" That's one thing. But if I said to you, "Morning, Pastor," the exact same thing. But the way that you speak actually has a message in and of itself. If we are coming to individuals and we're saying things, and we're saying, for instance, if there's something that you want it done, and you come to the person and say, "Oh, thank you so much for accomplishing whatever," and it's kind of like a passive-aggressive type of way, well, guess what? That's not any type of affirmation. In fact, this is a way to discourage what you're actually trying to accomplish. You see, we have to make sure that even in our talking to one another, we need to make sure that we're talking in a way that the person can receive. You know, the Bible says a soft answer does what? It turns away wrath. You know, even God himself realizes the importance of how the way we talk means so much in this world. Even words of forgiveness is very important. Words of forgiveness is extremely, extremely important. You know, when you think about some of the things that have happened in life, I know that some of you have experienced some pretty bad things. I remember when I was in the seminary and I was driving in New York City, dropping off a few friends from who were there with me. And I was dropping them home in their respective homes. And then I, let me just say this story. Let me just use another story. I think I better not go there. I remember one time I was driving with a few friends of mine, and we were driving a long distance, and one of my buddies says, "Hey, John, I'll take over the car." And I says, "Okay, no problem at all." It was late at night, and then all of a sudden, half an hour later, I felt the car turning around in circles. And I said, "Oh my goodness, I must be dreaming." I said, "No, I'm not dreaming. This is real. We're actually experiencing an accident right now." And I was just bracing myself for the impact. And finally, the car stopped. I was like, "Oh, wow, this is fantastic." Oh, I was so happy. I was praising God, the fact that we were able to spin around and still not hit any major obstruction, causing any serious damage. However, there was a little damage to the car. And I was like, "Wow, whew, boy, this is going to be very hard, you know, to settle, because I know that, you know, this is a rental car. The car is in my name." And he says, "Yeah, you're going to have to pay a lot." I was like, "Who, me?" He says, "Yeah, you're going to have to pay a lot." I said, "I didn't have this wreck." He says, "Yeah, I don't have the money." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? You're going to let me pay for all of this, and you're the one that had this accident? Are you serious?" And he says, "Well, it's in your name." I said, "I thought we were friends." You know, it was so amazing, because my brother, he said, "John, I don't care what this friend has done to you. You've got to forgive him." I was like, "But I don't want to forgive him." "John, you're obligated. Based on the word of God, based on what Christ did for you, you've got to forgive him." He didn't say, "I have to like what happened." He didn't say that we have to be in a situation where we're best friends again. No, he was saying that I need to forgive him, so So therefore, in forgiving him, I would choose not to be consumed. Not to be consumed by it. Not to be overwhelmed with it. Not to be so filled with hate for him that I'm losing sleep and all these different things. Frank was saying, John, you need to forgive your friend because this is what God would have you to do. And I have to admit, it took me a while. It took me a while to say, Lord, you know, I don't have a forgiving bone in my body. But I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in your agape love to work in me. And so I was able to go to my friend and say, you know what? What happened really hurt me. I'm not going to lie. But I'm deciding not to hold this against you. And by God's grace, you're forgiven. And I'm not going to say that our relationship was like this. I'm not going to say that we were buddy-buddy. No. We were more like this than like this. But the bottom line is, at that time, I had to come to a situation where I had to voice these feelings from within. And I had to give him some type of affirmation saying that, listen, in spite of what happens, I forgive you just as Christ has forgiven me. And these are words of affirmation. These are words by which people express and receive love. These are words by which we're able to understand how we can experience love. And so you see, therefore, the first love language is right here, words of affirmation. And so the question I have for you today is this. Why is it difficult for some people to express words of affirmation? Why do you think that? Is it easy for you? Pardon me? Never heard it yourself. Wow. It's easy to model something that perhaps you have seen growing up, but if you've never seen it before, it's not easy. You know, this is one of the hardest ones to actually talk about, because this is one that you really need to see in order to really effectively do it. Now, it can be learned once again, but as you're saying, if you haven't received it growing up, then perhaps it might be a little harder to do it right now. Yes, ma'am. You can't give what you don't have. And if you don't have it, you really can't give it away. That's so true. That is so true. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yeah, sometimes it can deal with pride, especially. You know, there may be times when it's like, wow, I don't really feel like I should do this. You know, maybe I shouldn't have to do this. But yeah, that is true. That is true. Yes, ma'am. So, if words of affirmation mean really nothing to me, I mean, I can receive it or, you know, take it or give it. It doesn't matter to me. It would be hard for me to give it to another person, because suppose my love language is gifts. Then I'm so busy looking for a gift that it's hard for me to express words of affirmation to that person. You see, one thing we want to mention here is this. When it comes to the love languages, it's all about a give and take situation. You have to understand what your love language is and also be able to express that to someone else. But on the other side, we need to be able to be cognizant of what the other person's love language is and then speak to that particular love language. If it's words of affirmation, then even though words of affirmation really mean nothing to me, I need to make sure that I take that conscious approach and giving words of affirmation. That's what we need to do. Very good point. Anyone else? See a hand? Yes, sir. We think it's not important. So many times I've heard this expression, oh, he knows I love him. He knows it. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And so that's why, even if you think that they know it, if they're craving to hear the words, I love you, we need to learn how to say it. And it takes courage. The hardest time is the first time. The hardest time. You know, I came from a family that didn't say I love you very much. Let me just be open and candid with you. I knew that my dad loved me, but he was not the type that said, John, I love you. But something happened in high school. Something happened in high school where one of my brothers started talking, like just saying, hey, I love you. Said that to my dad, and I remember my dad was like, yeah. He looked at him like, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Then all of a sudden, Brother Frank would go back to me and Dave, and he said, hey, man, I love you guys. We're like, ew. Ew. And then every time he would come around, I found myself actually wanting to hear it. And he says, yeah, John, I love you. I'm like, wow, wow. And now, several years later, I remember when my dad was in the hospital bed, on the hospital bed, and it was the very last time I would see him. I was walking out the room, and I was about to leave. I didn't realize that he was going to die the next day, but I was walking out the room, and I said, Dad, I love you. Those are the very last words my dad heard from me. Do you think that makes a difference 20 years later? I know I'm going to see him in heaven. I know that. But I remembered what happened on earth. I remembered him saying, you know, he had just been intubated, so he couldn't really talk, but he wrote on a piece of paper, John, I love you. Oh, man, I was ready to take on the world. Even right now, whenever I talk to my brothers, I have four older brothers, no sisters. Every time I'm on the phone, we're about to hang up. Hey, Dave, what? Love you. Hey, love you too. Or sometimes we just want to be macho. You know, we just say, hey, much love. All right, much love. Yeah. But the fact still remains, you know, these are the types of situations that had to be learned and developed. It doesn't come easy. But I know that for some of my brothers, their love language is words of affirmation. And I'm going to tell you right now, our relationships with each other has never been closer. Even right now, we're planning on coming together. And they're going to be visiting me in California. We're going to an Oakland Raiders football game. Yes. But we try to get together once in a while, just because, so that we can spend time with each other and express love towards one another. And so this is the first love language. I thought we'd have enough time to go over the second one. Oh, the 49ers. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's that other team on the other side of the bay. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get you for that. But anyway, I think my time is up, and can you? Okay. As a matter of fact, our pastor is going to be singing for us, right? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. We'll sing together. All righty.
Didn't you enjoy it? Didn't you enjoy it? Yes, everybody enjoyed it. So tomorrow and Thursday, on Friday, we'll have some gifts to give away. If only you could answer 5 questions. How many questions? 5. How many people love gifts here?
Okay, we'll have some gift to give away, but you need to remember at least answers to those five questions that we'll ask. So now we are going to sing our last song, our theme song for this seminar, "'Tis Love That Make Us Happy," and I hope that will be on the screen. So we'll sing together. I am not a musician, so I'm not going to sing for you. We are going to sing together, okay? So let's start. Who want to give us the key?
This love that smooth away.
Okay, hold on. Somebody has to give us the key and then we go. Okay, who want to do that?
Makes us happy.
It helps us to others. God is with us. God is love. We would be like Him. Tis love that makes us. Tis love that smooth. It helps it to others. This world is full of sorrow, of sickness, death. With loving heart we'll do and try some salt. God is with. God is. We will be like Him. Tis love that makes us happy. Tis love that's smooth. It helps. It makes to others every day. And when this life is over, our song shall be eternal of Jesus and Him. God is with us. God is love. We will be like Him. Tis love that makes us happy. Tis love that's smooth. It helps. It makes to others every day. Thank you so much for singing. Wasn't that beautiful? So beautiful. Pastor, you want to pray for us? Okay.
All righty. Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful for this privilege of being in your presence once again. We're thankful that we're all family and that we can learn together. We know that ultimately you are the source of all wisdom, the source of all spiritual gifts in the heavenly places is found in Jesus Christ. We know that you are you are a God of love, agape love, and we pray that as we continue this session that we will learn more about how we can love the way that you loved us. We pray that you would please allow these things to take place because we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let everyone say, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Is Darlene here? She's not here. Okay, she'll be here later on. Okay, thank you.
We'll do some announcement there later around 11 o'clock. Otherwise, we want to thank you for coming. And please come again tomorrow, 9:30 in the morning. Right now, you may take a break for about 15 minutes or 20, and then you can come back again for the next session for all of us. May God bless you and have a wonderful time.